I got a text from Steve saying I had to preach this morning, which was, you know, it was fine. But I got to thinking about, like, when I was in school, the idea of standing up in front of anybody and talking would cause me to go, Mom, I don't feel good. I can't go to school this morning. But I was, I've been praying about it, and the Lord just brought back to memory, trying to find my Bible here, kind of readjusting somehow here. I'm going to go to Philippians 4, and I was going to start with verse 4. This is, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The other day when I got home from work, I always, I looked outside and the snow had come off the neighbor's roof, and we've had a lot of snow and ice. So nobody was able to come into our driveway or anything. Nobody was home, so I'm like, well, I'll go clean it up. And I started shoveling it, and I started becoming angry at the neighbor, the landlord, because, you know, all he has to do is put a snow guard on there to keep it from being so bad. And, you know, and I was just angry and complaining. And I just, you know, I think the Lord brought to my mind, you know, I was thankful for the fact that it wasn't 30 below zero. You know, I found something in the midst of cleaning that mess up to be thankful for the Lord, and my whole attitude changed. But, you know, I could have been out there at 30 below zero. It wasn't. So I found something good to be thankful for. And I think when we have bad attitudes and things are going rough and nothing's going our way, you know, if we just put our eyes on the Lord and find that, if nothing else, just find that one thing to be thankful for, and the Lord will bring that, you know, his joy to you. So, 9 is, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein we were also careful, but we lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And that scripture right there, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me, is just something that I hold on to often, and the Lord brings it back even stronger at times, because, you know, you get thrown into things that you absolutely know nothing about or how to go about it. And I pray and ask the Lord to glorify himself through me and to help me to get this stuff done. And, you know, he's faithful, because he gives, you know, the desires of your heart. Ask, not wavering, and believing that he will answer those prayers. But, you know, just daily, you know, I have to stand on that. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me, because that's where my strength comes from. It comes from nowhere else but through him. You know, just to get around daily, I have to pull from his strength. Because left to my own devices, I'd probably be on my butt somewhere, not moving. But, you know, the reason why is, you know, I was diagnosed with MS. It was been over 20 years ago. But, you know, the Lord has glorified himself. He's given me the strength. But, you know, the fact that I have to trust the Lord to get out of bed and walk every day, that's not a bad thing. And it's taught me to be dependent on him and to draw my strength from him. So when we have a 770-page brief that we have to print out and number and everything else, you know, heck, I had, you know, work for Steve, and he said, you have to do this, and I'm like, okay. And he says, you know, I don't know how to number these pages, and I'm like, okay. And, you know, so, well, I'm depending on you. Okay. Okay. So I'm like, okay. So I went home and I prayed and I'm like, Lord, give me the strength and the knowledge to make it through this. And, you know, he had his hands full. He wasn't, you know, able to help me, which was fine because he had more important and harder things to do than I did. All I had to do was number pages and print them out and keep them in order, which for me is kind of hard sometimes. But, you know, it was just the aspect of that, where do you put your trust? If it was dependent on me to do it, there's no way that I could have figured that out and had it gone as smoothly as it did. But I held on to that scripture that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And I just want to be thankful. It's another thing to be thankful for. So, and I'm going to turn it over to Steve.
Job over here. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I was thinking of something earlier today, how we can be our own worst enemies. And then Roger came in just to prove it to me. Looks like he ran into a train sometime this week, doesn't it? Praise God. He's here. Everything will heal up there. Doesn't look so pretty. Told me he needs to change his Facebook picture. But yeah, that was Linda's Facebook picture. I saw that. I was like, whoa, that's some serious hurting on there. So praise the Lord. You know, Carrie started over here in Philippians 4, and I'd like to just come back over to it for a moment. She started with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We sang a song earlier this morning. It was, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. See, the sacrifice of praise is when you praise him even when you don't feel like it. And there's times when we don't feel like it, is that things don't seem to be going the way in which we want them to go. But the fact of the matter is that one of the reasons why we can rejoice in the Lord, no matter what anybody else or any other circumstance around us or any other thing. And it's what distinguishes a Christian from everybody else, is we have a sound hope. No matter what it is that's going on around us, we have a sound hope in Christ Jesus. There are people, and you've met them, who you can't seem to wipe the smile off their face, right? You've met people like that. They always have a smile. And on the one hand, I don't have a problem with it. On the other hand, I do. And the reason why I do is there's times when it's not genuine. And we all know it's not genuine. And we all know it's not real. And it's not sound, if you will. But in Christ, no matter what it is, even if we're dying in that very moment, you know, even if that moment is the moment of our death, we have a sound hope in Christ Jesus. Now, if we can have a sound hope even in the moment of our death, think of how we could have a sound hope in all the trivial stuff that trips us up every day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we get tripped up with some pretty trivial things. And many times the way in which we get tripped up in these trivial things is we get tripped up with what one another do. I mean, if you're hanging out with my children, one of the good things of having four children is there's plenty of room to fight continuously. I mean, if one's not in the mood to fight, there's always another. And it can be the oldest and the youngest. It can be the two oldest boys. It can be the girls. I mean, it can be any combination is ready for a good fight, it seems, just about every single day in something. And it almost always begins when you listen to them is he or she did such and such. That's what it is. It's always about what somebody else has done, right? And somebody else has done something that they don't like, and therefore it's worthy for them to fight. Right? Carrie was describing a situation in which it was worthy for her to go maybe throw a stone through her neighbor's window. Whack! Take that! You know what I mean? Take that. What do you mean? Yeah. Look what you did to my driveway. All the snow fell off and you leave me. Poor, I won't say how old, I won't say how decrepit, Carrie here to do this miserable task that you could care less what you've just done. And truth is, he couldn't didn't fall off on my driveway, right? It didn't fall off on my driveway if I'm the one living there. It fell off on your driveway. I don't park there. Doesn't bother me at all. Not my fault you can't get up, right? Isn't that how we are by nature? I mean, don't get me wrong. We don't say that kind of thing to people, but it's the reason why we don't notice it, because what, we got enough problems of our own to notice somebody else's problems, right? I mean, I had to get up, have a cup of coffee, get in my car, and go to work today, too. Right? What do you expect me when I to get up, have a cup of coffee, get my car dug out, and then realize that the snow on my roof has fallen onto your driveway and you can't get out? Whew. Man, that is some wishful thinking if you're thinking I was going to be thinking about that. You know what I'm saying? And the fact of the matter is that, see, grace makes up every difference, doesn't it? Grace makes up every difference. And when you're operating in grace, you're okay with making up differences. When you're not operating in grace, you want to point out everybody else's fault. You see what I'm saying? You want to point out everybody else's fault. For what purpose? Well, to show what a jerk they are. And if they're a jerk, what does that make me? I'm on my tippy toes to show that I'm elevating myself. I'm obviously much better. Okay, I'm even going to be like one of those ballet dancers who's doing the practice that way, so I can go over the top. You follow what I'm saying? We cut down other people because in the process of doing that, we feel like we're better ourselves, which is pride, and it's not grace. Now, does that mean that we never call people to account? Of course not. Because grace and love sometimes means calling people to account. Now, do you call them to account for everything? It really depends on what's going on with the individual. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I've got four children who are of different ages. Different ones are capable of different things. And I'm working with each of them with where they are right now. At least that's what I'm seeking to do. And thankfully, the grace of God covers me in all my own failings in this vein. But I don't expect the same thing of Abigail as I do of Joseph, right? And there are things that I may be dealing with Joseph on that I'm not dealing with Abigail on right now. That doesn't mean I'm not going to deal with Abigail on him. She's just, I got to let her have a little bit more life and a few more years of experience and learning a few things before I can ask the same things of her as I may of Joseph. So Joseph may feel, which I'm sure he went into the bathroom for a moment, but his head would be nodding when I say this, that it's just unfair. Why doesn't she have to do this? There's the smile, see? I mean, that's what happens, right? And see, when we're in this place of not operating in grace, we're always looking at one another, and we're judging ourselves one by another. And as the scripture says, we're not wise when we do so. And so the thing is that, look, when you're standing in grace, you don't mind making up the difference, but you also don't mind intervening when it's for the other person's good, even though you know they may not like it. Like you saw me go upstairs with Abigail here earlier this morning, because Abigail went up because of the rank unfairness of Ruthie taking her own birthday book back. Which, of course, was a rank unfairness as far as Abigail was concerned, because she wanted to look through Ruthie's birthday book. And when Ruthie asked for it back, that was a reason to storm out upstairs and have a fit. Life was very unfair. So I have to go deal with Abigail on that. And she came down with a better attitude and a book of her own, and she was fine, praise God. But you have to, part of grace, though, is bringing people to account, because the fact of the matter is, if you continue in those things that make you miserable, if you continue in those things that are unprofitable, then you're only going to get more and more unhappy, aren't you? You got to turn in order to come to a place where that's not your testimony, that's not your life, and now you can have something that's better that you can rejoice in, right? So we all have to go through this, and it's just a part of life. And when you're walking in the, what your desire is to serve the Lord, and you're thankful for His grace, then the fact that you may be getting called to account on a particular item is actually not a big deal. You're thankful, because the Scripture says, "What it says, God chasteneth them whom He loveth." And He chastens those whom He loveth, it means He corrects them. And why does He correct them? Because by nature, we're not like Him. If by nature we were like Him, this world would look a lot different than it does, doesn't it? When the neighbor got up in the morning and was going out, getting ready for work, he would be sure the night before to think, you know, it's been getting warm. I bet you that snow might fall off. And I don't want to leave Carrie, my neighbor below me, with having a boatload of snow that just blocked her driveway. That would be terrible. So, because I'm thinking of Carrie before I even go to bed and rejoicing about the idea that I'm going to wake up in the morning and have the opportunity to go do this and be a blessing to my neighbor, I've woken up early, I've had my coffee early, I'm rejoicing in the Lord while I'm shoveling the snow out of her driveway, or maybe using my snowblower, as she mentioned, okay? No, but the truth is that when we get past ourselves, we can actually have such thoughts, can't we? We really can. And when we see people have those thoughts and we realize what they did, I mean, doesn't that draw us to them? It draws us to them because of the act of kindness that that person showed. And what happens is that's how God in His love knits us together, is through just such acts. It's through just such acts. We have them before us all the time. But you can never walk in them as long as you're all hung up about you and what's going on with you. You can only walk in them when you're actually past yourself and are thinking about others. Now think of life for a moment here. If we actually spend our life thinking about others instead of always about ourselves. I mean, we spend a lot of time thinking about ourselves. I mean, a lot of time. I mean, it's like our favorite subject. You know what I'm saying? It's like me, myself, and I, man. That's like... The thing is we all sound like... Our lives all look like country music stories, though, don't we? Especially the old ones, not the new ones. The new ones all have these redemptive things. They're all kind of upbeat and stuff. I'm talking about the old ones. You know, they say if you play them backwards, you get your dog back, you get your wife back, you get everything back, okay? I mean, no, I'm talking about the old ones, all right? The ones that's what it is. And in that base, when we look out here, our lives look like the old country music songs, okay? I buffed my floor yesterday and fell down to kiss it today. A nice little puddle of blood in the process. My wife wakes up in the dark and slips on my blood. We're down there together. We haven't been this close in a while. You know what I'm saying? I mean... Forgive me for making light of the thing, but we have to get past ourselves. And when we get past ourselves, we can then begin walking in that life He has for us. And that life He has for us is really a blessing. It's a blessing. It really is. Because when you're out there doing for others as He would have you do, then He inhabits it. And His love is with you. And it brings a joy. It brings a peace. It brings all of these things. And that's a life worth living, folks. That's really a life worth living. And so I hope as we depart, you know, today and get back into doing other things, that we can remember, we got to get past ourselves. We get past ourselves. We start looking at other people and what's going on with them, and Lord, and whether it be as simple as praying for them. You know what I mean? As simple a thing as praying for them. And I'll tell you a simple prayer, the kind of thing you can do. You run into somebody. My wife, I ran into a guy who I know who has cancer now. Now I know that the Lord can deliver him of this cancer. He has cancer. He may not know that the Lord can deliver him of that cancer. And the thing is that he doesn't know Jesus. He knows of Jesus, but he doesn't know Jesus. And so I saw him briefly. I invited him in for a cup of coffee. He didn't have the opportunity then, but I did, and he didn't. But then, I don't take offense at that. What do? I lift him up in prayer. Because the Lord can work with him. He can work in his heart. He can prepare him to receive, recognize his need for Jesus. He can search his heart and prepare a message for him and move mightily through me to minister that message that will minister unto the needs of his heart. And he can bring them back in the right perfect time so that I can minister to him and he can receive Christ and he can also receive that deliverance and healing that he has need of. Praise God. And it can begin with something as simple as just a prayer because you care about him and you lift him up to the Lord. Do I know how to heal cancer? No. I don't even know what kind of cancer he has. I think it was a melanoma. I don't know. But when I asked the Lord to look in there, he knows exactly what's going on. He can diagnose it perfectly. He can tell me how to handle it exactly as is necessary. And he can prepare a guy who's a bit of a tough nut to crack. He can crack it open a little bit so I can bring forward the word and minister it unto him. You know what I'm saying? And so, in that place, we can do great things in Christ Jesus. And you're not all hung up. You're not chasing them around. You're not grabbing them by the tail and saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Praying for them. And when the Lord works them and says, no man can come unto me but the Father draw them. So you let the Father draw them. You meet them with the gospel. And now you have somebody who's been set free. And that's something any of us can do. But we can only do it when we get past ourselves. All right, so let's get past ourselves. We'll leave it there for today. And let the women come back up here and sing some songs. Glad to see Kenny, too. We've had an eventful week here. When Kenny was in the hospital, Roger got into a fight with the floor. And Carrie's digging out snow. And I don't know what I was doing. Oh, and she fell down, too. So praise the Lord, folks. Have a blessed Sunday.
Steve was talking about his ways. They're there for us to learn and to practice. Carrie read something this morning, Philippians 4. There was a little word in there that I actually circled. Teeny little word. It said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. You've learned, you've heard, you've received, you've seen in Steve. The next word, do. If we don't do it, what good is it, really, to us? It is good, but what good is it to us if we don't take what we have learned, received, heard, and seen in somebody else of the Lord, if we don't go do it? So let's do it.
Amen.
Amen.